Добро пожаловать всем, кто в онлайне. Мы благословляем всех вас. Итак, дорогие, долго времени не буду занимать много времени. Я скажу так.
So, beloved, I'm not going to take much time, but I want to share with you.
На последнем служении в Миннесоте на конференции.
During the last service in Minnesota this past weekend.
I
got the spirit of zeal
like
covered me in this unique way, and I'm sure that many of you have not seen the conference. I know internet, people work, encounter 4th of July, and we are a very busy church. So I'll say this, there, the Holy Spirit has placed upon my heart to share this message that I spoke during the last service. And again, of course, it's not going to be a repeat. I will only share certain moments from what I shared there in Minnesota. So I'll say this, beloved.
Раз мы с вами, у нас уже такая, знаете, полоса пошла откровенности, знаете.
If we have this
мы уже так, знаете, line of
or degree of being truthful for a while now, I'll say this, those, you know, there are two types of people. People that are introvert.
Да, интроверты и
экстраверты, and,
да? И да, люди, которые носят все внутри,
people that carry everything inside. I know how to say it in English, but I forgot how to say it in Russian. So you guys have to remind me. You know, people that carry everything on the inside. I'm that person. If something happens to me, everyone knows about it. So I usually irritate those individuals that carry everything inside.
So I'll say this. Today I will speak to you truthfully.
So my message today is called, it's simply brought up by theatrical church.
Название уже откровенное.
The name of the message is truthful.
Вы знаете, чаще я удивляюсь тому,
more and more I am amazed that majority of children of God do not desire to hear the truth, and in some moments they even hate it and run away from it. You understand?
Do you know that more and more I'm shocked why
Church of God, not all of it, but the major part does not want to hear the truth. It lives in her world. She shut up herself in her world. We have created sects with rules and regulations, and we are all playing our own roles there, but do you know that reality is completely different? You understand, church, reality is absolutely different. So today I will share with you truthfully, maybe with like this zeal for the Lord's house, because Lord wants to see this on this earth. You know, I asked God, why? Why? It was interesting for me to find out, why is it that people don't want to know the truth? Why? Some of you will be amazed that more than We often run away from bad pictures, bad news, from things that will allow us to see the reality. We shut ourselves out, so not to hear, not to see. Do you know, we are brought up in a generation that does not look at the pain. I've talked about this before. I remember I shared the story. I was standing many years ago. I was standing at the cash register, and there's this one handicapped man in a wheelchair in front of me, and he was paying for his groceries, and there was behind me there was a mom with a small child, and the small child was pointing fingers at the man, and mom said, don't look, do not point at his implied, turn away. But the small boy continued looking. He was interested with that man, the man that had that pain, and mother would turn him away. And you know, the Holy Spirit told me back then, many years ago, into my heart, he said, we brought up the generation that does not want to look at someone else's pain, does not want to see it. You understand me? We have brought up the generation that passes by any way that they possibly can someone else's problem. And Lord, have mercy if something happens with us. Listen. I asked God, why is this like this? God's answer was so simple. He said, because it brought up a generation that gives rewards for roles that have been played professionally. We have brought up a generation that raises up superheroes that do not exist. We have brought up a generation that enjoys, and these superheroes, when they
телевизионных
programs or whatever, they can't deal with the simplest problems. Their lives are usually in horrible condition. Majority of them die from alcoholism, from sexual diseases and whatnot, from overdosing. That's when the true lives of these stars start. When you look at them, you'll be shocked, but we're not bothered by those lives. We worry about the superheroes. How are they? On the pedestal, we don't worship that alcoholic. We worship him when he is dressed nicely in a suit. He's got a sword and he's on the screen. We enjoy him when they play these roles. We don't care the life, about the life. You know what God told me? He said, son, all of this is subconsciously entered into the church. We love pastors that are dressed up, so proper. They sit upon their horses, film their programs, walking in these shiny suits. And we could care less about their hearts. We care for them so that they would come out and address their people. We care about the show. We don't care about the pain that's in his heart, and that is why I ask God a question: why is it so many actors? God said, because the church uses these actors. That is why the world continues to supply you with actors. This is why we have actors on stages, behind podium speaking actors. Hollywood screens actors. We brought up a generation that hungers for actors. It is waiting for people that are nicely dressed. We don't care about the pain. We don't even care about the reality. I'm not going to name names or Hollywood stars or whatever. You all know them all. That's not what we're talking about. They're on the stage filming a movie or whatever. But in life, they have horrible lives, really. Sometimes they're worse than the regular person. They can't deal with small things that you deal daily. You don't think about it. What is that? Because we are required to play a role to be accepted. But if we would take this role off and say, listen, this is who I am, this is how I am, and we would learn to accept each other for real, how we are, not according to our title or whatever. This is why majority of us in churches would continue to play roles, because that is required and used by the community that is around us. You understand? I'm sorry if I'm so truthful right away. Maybe you didn't have a chance to wake up. The scrambled eggs didn't have time to digest or whatever. Coffee still boiling, and all of a sudden this dose of adrenaline hits you in the face. I speak seriously. Beloved, the zeal of the Lord just came to me, and he opened up this image to me. Do you understand what I'm saying right now? I want you right now, church, we have to start to have hunger for the reality of God. And I tell you, usually reality is worse than what we want or desire to see. But if we would not want to see the reality, we will never be able to change it. Those people that did not want to deal with the reality, they hid it, took it away, and made this movie or theater where we can't deal with our weaknesses, but on the stage we're kings and priests. Upon the stage, that's where life is. Before cameras, we're victorious. But at home, no one wants to see us, hear us, and no one wants to hear your pain. This is why you need also to survive to carry a mask.
I
take these things down. I've been doing it for a while. So those people that love theater, you and me, we are shocking individuals. What is he allowing himself to speak? The truth? Hello? What are you going to speak against me speaking the truth? Thousands of people watch us. I'm not talking about the generation of Saul. I'm talking about the generation of David. Generations of Saul, they love just sitting there pretending like they're doing war, battling or whatever. They're not battling themselves, and they don't allow others to go to battle. Oh, we'll touch down on that upon generation of Saul. We live in a time that majority of individuals are brought up by TV superheroes, but in real life, those individuals, they can't even deal with small things. This is the lifestyle, the subconscious. People say, what is he allowing himself? How can he say this? It's the truth, it's reality. All that you're doing is you're playing your theater. Why don't you get yourself out of that sect, pull your head out and see. Really, no one really knows you. They know the one that represents you. Your representative.
Ну я люблю. Вы знаете, почему я хочу быть всегда реальным? За сценой, с друзьями, без друзей.
On stage, behind the stage, with friends or without friends, with family, whatever.
Because when you see it, у тебя хотя бы есть шанс.
You at least have a chance to love me or hate me.
А других ты даже не знаешь.
Others, others, you don't know. You say I love him. You can't say that you love him because you really, really don't know him. Because there's, I allow people that are around me. My church, our churches of covenant all over the world, wherever they're at, and I allow them to see the product of reality. This is it. And you can say, you hate me, praise the Lord. You have a chance to hate me, but you also have a chance to see the truth. At least you'll know what you hate.
And others, they play roles, masks of people and individuals play around and say, oh, I don't love him.
You really don't know him that well in order not to love him, or you don't know him that well to love him. You understand? So be very careful when you say, oh, I hate this guy, I love that guy. Very quickly could all change places. And believe me, history is that thing. It's very unique. Often it happens that way. Because often the ones that you love are usually masks, and then they take it off and you're like, oh my gosh. I was thinking that he's a pastor. How is it that he's doing this? And during mission trips, found himself a missionary girl. It's not him, it's the role that he was playing. You understand, right? The role that he's playing. For real, he could be a horrible individual, but he has no chance to open up before anybody because no one's going to take him that way or receive him or help him. You understand? Why a lot of people feel like they have to hide because there is no one that is able to receive us and correct us and help us. This is why most of us live double standards, double standards, live double lives. Sits at home and watches pornography. And then on stage pretends like he or she has a great life, great family. Over there, Satan thinks horror. But over here, we pretend it's so good. Hallelujah, brothers and sisters. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Over there, everything is rotten. And then you find out everything is exploding. Everything is falling apart. What happened to this wonderful family? It's not a wonderful family. It hasn't been wonderful for a long time. They're just in the marriage of convenience. And they got sick and tired of living that life and that. The reality came out by itself. It didn't even ask them. You understand, right?
Может быть достаточно честно для воскресенья.
Maybe it's too truthful for Sunday. I don't know. Maybe you want to run out.
Но извините меня,
but I'm sorry. But that's how I am.
Жизнь у нас такая.
That's how our life is.
Правды много.
There's not much time, but lots of truth. I gotta say it all.
Quickly.
Majority run away from the reality because they hate that horrible reality that they live in. They can't change it. That is why the only way out is to create their own reality and in that created reality to take up some sort of position.
They
come out from the real reality, create their reality. Have you seen like children? There's a house, she pretends. For instance, she's your daughter. And one time I come into my house and she's playing.
Занят игрушками.
House. The whole living room is full of toys. There are cars parked. There's this whole world. She's created neighborhoods and she created her own world. And in this world she's got action and movement, but that is her world. She's my daughter. She's considering herself a president or a queen in that world. There are Barbies and whatnot.
У нее там целая жизнь.
She has this life brewing in there. And that is her reality. That's how we are.
Sometimes we,
this reality, create our own reality because we don't like the other reality. We can't change it. We're afraid of it. And there, you are nobody. And over here, you're someone. Over here, I have created this world. And I control it and rule over it. Look.
То, что религия не способна изменить, она
what religion is unable to change, she accepts it and lives with it. You understand what I'm saying? Again, I'll repeat that. It's very unique that what religion cannot deal with, cannot conquer it or be victorious over, she accepts it and lives with it. She gives a room to that. Now, there aren't any possessed people. There aren't any demons. All those are just bad things that they do. Now all the sisters need to be dressed up in long skirts and cover everything so that there's nakedness, so that the spirit of perversion cannot go and attack the man. So you're here in church for 2 hours and then outside. What do you do outside? What do you cover everybody outside? I cannot understand this logic. So in the church you made your own rules. And you're in church 2-3-4 hours a week. Maximum. If you're a serious Christian, of course. 4 hours. outside. You're out there all your life, and what's happening over there?
И мы создаем
and
свой мир.
Create our own world.
Мы теперь одержимости
now,
нету.
There aren't
болезней нету. Это наказание Господа.
This is just
знаете,
you cross from the Lord, or the Lord is punishing you. Religion
жизни.
Has found a room for everything
теперь
in our life.
Это
now,
это не ложь.
This is not a lie and manipulation.
Это
now,
это
this
совет.
Is called the elders of the church. Brotherhood. You can't say amen, say ouch. At least say something. And now that crowd of brothers or whatever, now they control, and everybody thinks this is majority said. Majority is sitting over there. Wake up. Not over there, it's over there.
Но там мы настолько разрознены, настолько играем в
театр,
что
никто не может встать и честно сказать. That no one can get up and speak the truth.
Но есть один Давид.
But there is one David. He was over there in the scripture. I believe into the generation of David. I tell you the truth. I believe into that. Against all the rules of Saul, all structures, it says, he gets up and says, I will kill that guy. They'll tell you, no, you're not ours. We have to put proper armor on you.
David,
and teach you things. David, do not be afraid to touch
David,
Saul's weapon. Be afraid to, and do not touch Saul's weapons. You don't need that. You already have your weapon that the God, that the Lord has gave you. Are you with me? You understand what I'm saying?
Okay. Отлично.
Wonderful. I dream about seeing the generation that will not only enjoy the presence of God, but they will also be the carriers of His glory.
The generation of David
will not only walk with God upon fields and enjoy His presence, but for real will show the world who their God is. You know, right now we have an opportunity to shut our doors and make it this wonderful sect. Call it Transformation Center. You understand? But, beloved, I will never do that. I want. You know, when I started going all over the world, we started seeing people raising up churches, masses of people, many different things happen all over the world right now. Do you know what I saw? God is there where there's pain, destruction, and horrible things. People, where people need help, where there's rape. God is there where there's need. God is like a doctor. Doctor is needed for the sick. But how can a doctor help you if the sick pretends that he's healthy and good? God says, where does it hurt? Nowhere, Lord. Should I help you? No. What are you doing in church? I am holy. Trying to achieve holiness with their own hands. That's a joke. That's a joke. So I believe that this generation will rise up, generation of David. They are rising up. You know, I made this my mission to share about this. Some people tell me, why don't you just chill out, relax? There is no religion, beloved. If some of you would ever wear my shoes at least for a week, you would see the letters full of bitterness and pain and horror that we receive in Transformation Center. Those of you that answer those letters, you know what I'm saying. All that horror. And they say, we are feeding only from you. You are our only source of life. I'm not speaking with my own words. Lord, have mercy if I'm bringing myself up and showing off. Lord knows who we are. You know why? Because we have made this our mission not to shut ourselves in, but to hear someone else's pain. Not to shut our eyes and pretend, oh, it's all yours, you deal with it, but open up and say, how can we help you? This is our mission. This is our purpose and goal.
Славе Бога могут ходить только те, кто ищет и не боится говорить правду.
Only those that are not afraid to speak the truth and not do not hide from reality can walk in the glory of God. You know why David was able to conquer Goliath? You know why? Because he wasn't hiding from reality. You know why we are weak?
Потому что мы отрекаемся видеть реальность.
Seeing reality, and if you don't see the reality, you will not be given a weapon to conquer over that thing. You don't understand how deep is what I just shared with you. Only those that are able to see the reality. Only they are given that revelation and the weapon and the victory. Those that are lost,
it
says that people play games.
Saul
and his army, they were not even given the weapon to have victory. But David, he had a slingshot and one stone. Everyone was laughing at him and his weapon. What? You? Brothers and Saul and the whole army, and Goliath, everyone laughed. But it's not in laughing. What is important is the result. And we could see the results there. I personally hate the theater and lying actors. And all the actors and all theaters, they hate people like us. How can you see or the theater start speaking against theater and the actors and then they will start going against you in return? And they say, you're preaching against us. No, I don't even know you. I'm speaking the word from the Lord. You just came up to me and told me this. You're saying, right? You figured yourself out. You say you're speaking against the theaters or from this. You're not. You say I'm not actress. You just confirmed that you're an actor. You reacted against this word because those are not actors. They're not playing this theater. They are not even bothered by what I say. They know that they search for the truth and then they search for the true life of God. They seek the reality of God. Look. Church does not even imagine how many leaders in the church or people in the church really renounce to see the reality. Why? Because they cannot deal with it.
And
in order not to show their weakness, we have to cut out this movie. This reality around us, we're going to edit it. Do not touch anything that is unclean. We create a clean sect. We'll shut ourselves in there, and we shall praise the name of the Lord Almighty Jesus Christ. What? Billions are dying out there, and you're here selecting the length of a skirt in order not to seduce a brother that should be dead towards someone's behind in their legs. What? Never mind, let's leave that aside. It's so deep for some. It's so deep, a topic of their whole life. For 50 years, I've been a pastor. He still tries to figure out that revelation, that all of that is crap. There's this awesome word called crap. It means it's crap. That's it. Crap is crap in Hawaii as well. It's crap everywhere. It doesn't matter where it is. Hello. You're smiling. It's not crap, it's deep revelations. You have to deal with it. Yeah. Church has created her own cheap small world, made up her own rules and regulations, and refuses to see the reality because the majority of churches are not able to deal with the true reality. We live in a generation, beloved, that worries more about her status than for her heart before the Lord. Hello? We live in the generation, again, I will say this, you know, for me, this is very important, I want you to hear this, we live in a generation, in Christian generation, that worries about their status on Facebook more than for their heart before the Lord. Are you with me? I will not post this. I cannot say this. Don't say this about me. The people will see it. Blah, 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 blah. We so care about our status by rotting and at the same time rotting on the inside. Today we will talk about two kingdoms where modern church lives in currently. Kingdom of Saul and Kingdom of David.
Итак, поколение Давида – это призванные, но не призванные. Поколение Саула –
это,
смотри, поколение Саула – это лишенные призвания, но признанные большинством. Лишенные, отнята слава, отнята мудрость, отнята все. И вот мы живем в поколении Давида, которое уносит ноги от Саула. Пока не пришел Давид, вся церковь епископа Саула играла в игру. Знаете, какая игра? Игра была под названием «Голиафа нет, и нас не макеем».
They say Goliath does not exist, and we are not.
Вы знаете, что самое уникальное? Они стояли на поле битвы, и перед ними выходил 40 дней, чтобы какая-то вещь, статистика говорит, чтобы какая-то вещь вошла в привычку, нужно повторить ее 21 раз. Вы знаете, о чем я говорю, да?
Regular thing that you have to do it for like 2 weeks.
You know, Goliath, it was something that he got used to doing, swear and just speak badly against the people of Israel.
He did it for 40 days. It says that it was like a whole show now.
It says that these...
people of Israel no longer reacted towards Goliath, that he's out there screaming. You know, with them it was just daily, I'll say this, activity. Every morning Goliath would wake up, would stretch, drink coffee, and come out and just swear at the people.
But for them, with Israelites,
they had another thing that they were doing. They would wake up every morning that they did, they would jog. Remember?
Голиаф выходил, написано, они со страхом
убегали. Because of fear, they'd run away. That was their morning run. They'd run away from
it.
And everybody got used to doing it. Now it was normal for the church. Now no one even saw it as a problem. They got used to it. They say, it's not war. We're just chit-chatting here.
И вы знаете, как пришел, и вот приходит
Давид. And here comes David.
Это поколение Саула.
That was generation of Saul.
Лишенное помазание, но у них еще есть большинство людей, которые,
можете себе
представить, ни одного человека не было в команде Саула, который видел реальность. Ни одного!
There was no one that saw the reality in Saul's team.
Давиду нужно было только услышать две фразы, чтобы отреагировать.
Needed to hear two phrases in order to react.
Почему?
Why?
Потому что человек жил в реальности Бога.
That man lived in the reality of God 24/7. You understand what I'm saying?
He
lived in the reality of God. He saw a lion, he destroyed him, a bear, he destroyed him. He says that same thing is going to happen to that guy.
Beloved,
this generation has to rise up. You know? You know why you cannot be victorious? Because you are a generation of Saul. Get out of it.
David,
they look with completely different eyes.
Поколение Саула, поколение епископа Саула нам учило нас, что не будет библейской школы.
They taught us that if you don't have Bible school education, you can't do that. If those individuals or bishops are not anointed, you can't do that. If you didn't preach in those churches, you have no influence. You don't even mean anything. For us. But God says,
все, что мне нужно,
everything that I need is your sold out heart and the slingshot in your pocket. You understand what I'm saying, right? I want to teach you.
You
know why we're sitting with these huge masses and just dying in the churches. You know why? Because the generation of Saul taught us, you can't come out here as if there's some sort of magical place right here.
Oh, Jesus! Oh, Jesus!
Oh, Jesus! And this magical place, so unattainable. Beloved, anyone can come here when the Lord tells you to get out there. And often God calls people like you, me, like you,
just
move everything and makes that your place. If I was using Saul's weapons, I probably been somewhere as a nobody. But when I said, Lord, I'm only going to use your weapons. And right now, all over the world, strange signs and wonders happening all over the world. And you know, by not even going to those places, we transform many people. By not even being there, transformation center is not there physically, but we still transform many, many individuals.
Those that are there
physically, they don't influence them as much as you, thousands of miles away. What does that say? That we live in his reality and not Saul's reality. Look. So, generation of Saul, or Saul's generation.
Until David came,
Saul's church was playing games. But when this man came, saw the horrible condition, he didn't hide, but he went to death in order to change.
Then,
that's when the great breakthrough came.
Beloved,
I am speaking to David's generation right now. Stop searching for weapons, for armor, and for acceptance from generation of Saul.
They'll
never give you anything. They'll just make you exactly like Saul. And what's unique is that David tried to enter into Saul's position. He went and received his anointing and hand laying on, whatever. He put all his armor. He walked around. He was all shiny. He walked and walked. And he's walking with the sword with all the stuff metal on him. How do you walk in this? How do you just walk in this? You can die and look pretty in it, yeah. He took it all off and said, this is not my method, this is not my weapon, this is not why I have been called to do by God. And he put on what he had. I guarantee all of you, your calling is inside of you. You know why we don't discern it? Because we either don't want to discern it as a weapon, for us it's still just a silly slingshot. But God says that brush that you paint pictures with, that is the biggest weapon against hell. Or a pen. You know what is my weapon against hell? A microphone, right here. This thing. This is my weapon. I do not fight physically. I wave a microphone. This is my weapon. You know that you will have your weapon that God will give you. Maybe you don't consider it as a weapon. Maybe it has not been revealed to you just yet. Or you don't even want to see it. But God, and you say, God, I will not do this. David had all these arguments. Lord, before me, no one ever fought with a slingshot. No, it was successful. And we're not even talking about this giant. The biggest soldier at that time in the Philistines' army to kill him with what? With a stone? With a rock? What difference does it make what you used to kill him? God cares about the result and not your method or your beautiful suit and this Bible that you carry under your armpit. Brother. My brother. So, I'm calling out to generations of Davids that will see where the church of our days is currently. Do not be afraid of Sauls. Do not be afraid of their opinion about you. Get up, rise up, because the future of this nation and these people are in your hands. The Lord will give you everything you need to change this reality. Let's rise up. Let's start doing things. Let's stop sitting there and just decomposing and wait for some anointing from Saul. Let's ask God, how can it be useful to you? Let's not bend our heads before Sauls and do everything they tell us and waiting for their acceptance and their opinion about us, waiting that my status will change someone's heart from deacons of Saul. Let's change our status ourselves. And what's unique is that as soon as David took off all that stuff off of himself, went out into the battlefield, killed Goliath, his status changed, isn't it so? Changed so much that they saying Saul was victorious over thousands and David over tens of thousands. Imagine that status.
So,
you know why God doesn't want your status to change, Saul?
Because
you have always less than 1,000.
No, you don't get it. Hold on.
Why does God say, don't you dare to go there? Because everything that you have is 1,000. And I think they only saying that in order not to upset Saul. There was nothing there. He didn't kill anybody. Saul didn't get rid of anybody. They could have said, thank you, Saul, for being at the war. But generation of Saul, they get jealous. They get this green monster coming up. They cannot see young dudes that are victorious and are winning over this generation over to Christ. They can't even put this into their heads that this could possibly be from God. And this is from God. Just chew it and swallow it. Listen. Generation that has been brought up by pastors like Saul's, they renounce to see the reality. That is why they are unable to change anything. Only those that are able to see the reality are able to change it. You see the reality? You know, sometimes you sit down with people to talk with them, they don't even see the reality. You understand what I'm saying, right? They don't even see it. I don't know what you're saying. I don't know what are you talking about? They have their own world, they have their own reality. You tell them about people, about nations, about the ones that die from drugs. Oh, he's a sinner. The Lord has punished him for that. This is not my thing. It's not. I don't care. Why can I laugh from the Slavic people? Because I myself am from former USSR. What do you have against those people? Nothing. They're all good. Only those that are born from above, of course.
Okay.
And all of you said what? Amen. There's a lot of us here. It's going to be hard for Americans to understand this particular joke. I'm sorry. This is like the local joke, I guess, for the Slavic people.
Вы знаете, я кричу к Богу и хочу стать.
I cry out to God.
Я хочу больше и больше видеть Его реальность. Знаете,
and I really, really want to see more and more His reality. You know why? The more I see this reality,
the more, and
the bigger the field I get to work, and the better weapons I get to work with.
40
days there was Saul, and they didn't see this as dangerous. David came, and from two words he said, "That's it. I will now allow him to blaspheme against God and just bring his people down." They didn't even see it. They said, so what? This guy just yapping away.
Yeah.
So what if he's a little pissed off? Whatever.
First of all,
who told you that you have to?
The
generation of Saul. You have to
battle
Goliath according to his rules.
You know, it's
like the devil comes and tries to make a deal with you, and he knows that you will lose. You don't even need to listen to him. You know what Saul needed to do? He should have said this: we're not going to kill you one-on-one, we're just going to jump you right now and just bite you to death. Even if we don't have swords, we're just going to bite you to death. All of us put together. You know, number one that I'm amazed is that they sat there and listened everything this crazy guy was speaking. He says, you bring me this warrior like me. We don't have a warrior like you, okay? There'll be a lot like us. Who told you that you should even listen to the enemy? We're going to kill you. We'll rip your legs apart. We'll bite you to death. I don't know. We'll spit you to death. Whatever. I don't get it. Who told you that a warrior has to go against a warrior one-on-one, whatever? David, when David came, he was laughing stock. Even for Goliath. He says, what? You're going against me with this stick? What, my dog? You know, enemies have this problem. They have this problem. They don't really see who we are. They sit there and laugh. They don't judge us correctly until a brick falls in their face. And David, you know, as Americans say, David was a sneaky little guy. And that's it. He didn't need a sword. He didn't need a spear. Not even a horse or this show. Small stone, small slingshot. That's it. And he knocked him out. You understand what I'm saying? Stop battling Goliath according to his rules. What difference does it make if you don't have a sword? Get a baseball bat. Who cares? Throw shoes at him. Doesn't matter. There's 1,000 of you. Imagine all the shoes are going to fly in his face. It's the first problem the church has. She tries to fight the devil, with the rules of the devil. You don't understand. We don't fight homosexuals with prayers that we release into the spirit realm where we bind the spirit of homosexuality or rape or pornography or any other things like that. What we do is we come out and we pick it. No. The Lord hates you. The drug addicts, the Lord hates you, and the drug addict sits there and keeps shooting up. He doesn't care about your picketing. You have to deal with the demons, bind those things, and not the government that is connected to the demonic realm. I am voting against homosexuals. So what? They were before, so you can vote again. Stop battling these things like that. Stop battling the world with the rules of the world. You're gonna lose. You have a weapon that they never even dreamt about. It's called prayer. Not your prayer. Oh Lord, bless me. Bless this food so I don't die from poisoning. We get together and we come out into the spirit realm and we bind these spirits that dominate over regions and over these areas. And you do it until it dies. But, you know, we have so much to do, so little time, that's why we're losing all these things. No one wants to give their life to it. I have nothing against voting. Go ahead and vote. You know, I've been in America for many years. I've been in America for so many years. I've voted so many years. And what good did that do? This is democracy. We're Americans. We have to vote. We have to vote for America. We need to beat up the devil. Not some evil men work with this world. No, those evil guys are placed there by the devil. If you bind that spirit, that positions will finally get normal people that are godly people, will do righteous things. Second problem, someone said that you have to be victorious in this world and be conquering, and you know, they also wanted to make Jesus as a king in Jerusalem, but you know, that's not what Jesus wanted. We have a president that no one took down, you know? Hello?
У меня есть уже президент.
I have a president, and he's always on the throne.
Okay? Его снять никто не
может. You can't take him down, even if you try.
Не доберется.
He can't achieve that. It's too far.
Святое святых называют.
It's called Holy of Holies.
Церковь не поняла, кто она.
Church does not understand who she is. This is why she's standing in a battlefield and all these disgusting things, quote unquote, Goliath spit and laugh at it. Of course she doesn't know. She kind of does not retreat back, but she's not going forward. She's not battling,
but
and she does not allow David to battle. She took up this position. You know what David needed to do? David, I'm talking to you. You have to go through all of these guys, all these soldiers, you have to listen. Everything your brothers will say, number one, all your leaders will have to say, number two, number three is what all your enemies will have to say. Generation of David, are you ready to hear everything like that? Like your brothers laugh at you, your leaders laugh at you, and your enemies laugh at you. If you're able to go through all, past all that laughing and picking, you will achieve something. But we care so much about our status, what these brothers will think about us. 40 years ago, you should have been victorious, but you've been taking all this time and trying to prove to all these brothers that you can. There was David's brother. He tried to stop him. He said, oh, he came just to look at the war. If I was David, I'd say, what battle? What battle? What the heck are you talking about? You call this battle? What you're doing? This is battle? You running around, running away from Goliath in circles? You call this battle? I came to look at the battle? Do not embarrass yourself. You just eat the cheese. I'll take care of everything. That's exactly how it happened. While they were eating cheese and the bread and looking at the show, he handled it all. David's generation, they're people that are not standard. They don't have standard clothing, not standard weapons. This is a generation of David. These are the people that generation of Saul will never accept. But they don't have that option that you can even fight like that. Again, I'll repeat that. Saul's generation doesn't have an option that you can fight like this. That you could go like that. This is how you're going to go? You gave the cheese to these guys and went and killed that guy? How? You did not train. You didn't work out. You didn't box. You have no practice in war. And David's like, why do I need practice? They say, he is a warrior from the young age. He says, they tell me, you're just a teenager. Who are you? You're so small. But that's his problem that he was a warrior from a young age. What do I have to do with this? This says he placed him into these box where he doesn't come out of. But David was like, he was able to adapt himself. He adapted himself to the lion and to the bear. And then also for Goliath. He was able to adapt himself.
You know,
the more you know, the harder your problem is. Because all this knowledge places you into boxes of what you cannot get out. In other words, you build up walls around yourself with all this knowledge. This is why I tell you, you don't need earthly knowledge, but revelation of God. It is written that time, Bible tells us, your Bible tells you, that moment where you'll need something, the Holy Spirit will reveal to you. Our problem is that we're not friends with the Holy Spirit in order for Him to reveal all these things to us. What do you think about it? What do you think about it? What do you think about it? How about his opinion? Why don't you ask him and then just relax? The only opinion they should care about is his opinion, not everybody else. All this mafia. Brothers of Saul. You understand, brother? You should think about your future. Yeah, I'm thinking about my future. If I'm going to live like that, I'm not going to have a future. I'm going to be there, sitting there, shiny like the rest of you. That row. Shiny individuals. Have you seen those? By the way, those shiny dudes are watching us over the web stream. They know that I'm talking about them. They recognize themselves. I gave them an opportunity to leave this place right away, but they didn't. But you all remained. So now you just have to listen to what I say. By the way, you still have an opportunity to leave. I don't have a problem with that. By the way, those that are watching on TV, they can't get out. They just have to turn it off. Look.
Итак, продолжаем.
So, let's continue.
Поколение, воспитанное пасторами Саула,
generation is brought up by pastors like Saul. They are unable to change anything.
Те, кто способны
видеть реальность, способны изменить. Those that are able to see the reality are able to change it. Reformation is unavoidable. You know why? Because
for the bride of Christ to take up her position,
what needs to be moved is the substance that is taking up the position of the true church. Some people say, what reformation are you talking about? Again, I tell you, reformation has to come into the church. Davids need to rule and not Sauls, you understand? And for David to take up the rightful place, generation of Davids need to come into their position. You have to go, overstep, shut your ears from their opinion. We've been there before. Yeah, that is why you never got anywhere.
Okay.
There was no progress. Okay? This church of brother Saul is taking up the place of the king, of the ruler, you want to call it whatever, pastor, minister, but does not desire to go on to war and to change something. Generation of Saul always will feed you tomorrows.
And
if David did not come, I guarantee you, they would probably went on to the 41st day of this war battle that they're having. If David didn't come on that day, they'd have the 42nd, 43rd, and so on and on day. They take up the place of the king and the ruler. They don't allow others to come in, and they themselves do not enter. The Bible clearly tells us that.
Но они не входят туда, они боятся все это. У них есть ключ, потому что это позиция. Ключ — это позиция.
Key is the position, but they don't allow others to enter. And all those people that come up to them, pastor, I want to pray tomorrow. We want to start this tomorrow. We want to do this tomorrow. We want to start encounters tomorrow. We want the revival tomorrow. That is a generation of Saul. Everything with them is tomorrow, because tomorrow never comes. We've talked about that before. You wake up and every day is today. You only have today. There's no tomorrow. Problem of Saul's generation is they took up the position of warriors but do not battle, and those that do want to battle, they don't allow them to go into battle. Majority of you were stopped by the generation of Saul. I guarantee those of you that have been called by God and wanted to do something for God, all of you encountered Sauls, and all these Sauls either told you to go away or promised you tomorrow. There are two things. Sauls that will either tell you tomorrow, or they send you as far away as possible because you irritate them, because you're too smart, you're too loud, you're too expressive, you're too everywhere, you dance differently than everybody else, you raise your hands like not like everybody else, you look different, you behave differently, you're strange, stop doing it. And God says, I have called you to freedom, do not be there where they control you, be free. So what, to be by yourself? Then be by yourself. How about with the church? Who told you that you have to be in some sort of church? What is a church? Is it a building that has controlling shiny guys? What do you mean church? What is a church? Church is a building. Church is you and God. He is Lord. I am so thankful to God that He is the head. Can you imagine if some sort of brother would be the head of the church? Oh, what sort of thing would pray? Oh, Lord, have mercy. Generation of Saul could care less about God and His will and mission of heaven. They don't care. But they seriously worry about other people's opinion and their position. Let's read about it. So this would be a legal service. We'll read from the scripture. 1 Samuel 15:26. We'll make it all legal now. 1 Samuel 15:26.
Когда там...
Basically, that was the last straw in life of Saul, and Samuel tells him this. And Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. That is a generation that you still think that they can rule over things. They have been rejected by God because they did not want to do His work.
Position.
God does not take the position. Everything that God takes, and relax those of you that think that they're in position. God never takes anyone away from their position. What He does, He removes the anointing and gives it to others. If you want to see who has the position, look at those that have an anointing. Those are the people, according to what God thinks, they have the position. We still think if someone has stripes or rewards or badges or whatever, coalitions, there's a lot of us. Yeah, there was a lot of them. They're sitting there on the battlefield, and silly individuals, they didn't fight. They were just eating and wasting food for 40 days, sitting there watching him. So look, the Lord has rejected you as king over Israel. And as Samuel turned to go away, Saul seized the skirt of Samuel's mantle and tore it. And Samuel said to him, "The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you this day and has given it to a neighbor of yours who is better than you." And also the strength of Israel will not lie or repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Saul said, "I have sinned." Look at Saul's generation. Look at how they act. "I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray you, before the elders of my people and before Israel." And this is what they care about, the generation of Saul, about their status before the people. And before the armies. When David heard that God rejected him, it is written that he stopped eating and drinking, he went fasting, and he was in travail, he put ashes on his head. Do you remember when he sinned with Bathsheba? He heard what happened. He started repenting. He didn't start saying to the prophet, "Oh, go in army before the people." Beloved, the problem is not that anointed men or women, they fall and stumble. The problem is with the heart. David careless about his status. Do not take your spirit away from me in the psalm. When he was writing that, when he was in that condition, he says, "Lord, forgive me, do not take your spirit away from me." He was worried about that. He could care less about the opinion of people. That is the generation of David. When they do something bad like that, they care about what God thinks about them, not their status. Because God doesn't care about your status. He gives and takes away. I care about the anointing that is about that's in my life. I don't care about other people's opinion about me or how many people I have around me. That has nothing to do with anointing of God. This is all just visible stuff. But church works. Church, what she does now, she wants to be seen, heard. This is what we're doing. This is beautiful pictures. This brotherhood, these are our unions and coalitions. Here and here it is. And God says, all the anointing has been taken away from you. God doesn't even come to visit you. We pray. Everyone prays. And Muslims pray. And Buddhist people pray too. So everyone prays. We pray.
The
big difference is who you pray to.
Знаете, что самое уникальное между Саулом, поколением Саула и Давида? Вы знаете, что между поколением Саула и Давида есть еще одно поколение?
Besides them, there's Анафана, another generation. It's called Jonathan's generation. They had been brought up or born by Saul's generation, but they don't want to leave the comfort of Saul's house. They understand the position of David. Do you know how many people like that were that could be called Nicodemus? They see and they know where there is the spirit of Saul and the spirit of David. And they have been born by Saul. Of course, they're from that movement. And they absolutely give honor to David and understand the whole anointing that's upon David and upon that generation right now. But they will not even dare to leave the kingdom of Saul. What is this? Be right now with David, hiding in caves, being chased by the king. Everyone's going to speak bad about us, going to laugh at us. I'm going to hang out with these homeless guys. You know what? I'm going to go with my dad, even with my father. But listen to me very carefully. You will inherit. If you, Jonathan, if you're generation of Jonathan, if you're that generation, you have to hear me. You know that I'm saying. I'm speaking to you. Be very careful who you spend your time with, because you'll be in coalition with, in the union with. That's the reward you're going to receive. Jonathan received the reward of his father. It's called death. Do you understand what I'm saying? Be very careful where you are, who you're with, and what you're doing. 100%. I understand. Right now, I'm just speaking these stories. David, Saul, Jonathan. But three different categories. The Bible gives us these examples. Generation of Saul, David, and Jonathan. And you will figure yourself out. You're somewhere in one of these.
И там хотим, И проповеди хотим послушать, и на энкаунтере побывать. И, пожалуйста, не выставляйте наши фотографии, потому что мы потеряем там позицию. Приезжают сюда люди, которые благодарят меня за проповедь, говорят, мы не можем так проповедовать, потому что нас снимут с нашей позиции. Я говорю, если тебя снимут с твоей позиции, она твоей никогда не была. Стоп, еще раз тебе повторю, если ты боишься за какое-то откровение, что тебя снимут с твоей позиции, это не твоя позиция, это позиция данная перед человеком, беги из этой позиции. Я жду позицию, которую даст мне Бог, с нее меня никто.
Whatever God will give you, only God can take away. Trust me. And I have been a pastor for many years, and I know what I'm saying.
Ha ha ha. Полежали ногами, подрыгали, дальше поехали.
Okay. Смотри. Look.
Саул ответил: согрешил я, но пожалуйста, окажи мне уважение.
I have sinned, yet honor me, and I pray you before the elders of my people and before Israel, and return with me that I may worship the Lord, your God. And that is his problem. He never had his God. It was always somebody's God.
Некоторые из вас должны Some войти в абсолютно другой уровень посвящения. Ты начнешь видеть и слышать. Ты покинешь религиозную игру. Церковь, я еще раз вам говорю. Я это говорю очень серьезно. Я говорю это с реальной ревностью в моем сердце. Ты должен покинуть религиозную игру. И вы все знаете, к кому я обращаюсь. Вы все абсолютно понимаете, к кому это. Ну нельзя же так. Нет, настало время делать так. Ты здесь? Настало время говорить так. Настало время действовать.
Like that.
У нас нет времени
We have no time to play these games. There is a vision of God and position of
him,
from him for us, and we have to enter into it. This world has to see the message of Jesus Christ.
Do not worry.
They'll call you heretic, Satanist, whatever, all these bad things, everything. They call Jesus and the disciples. Look.
Очень часто то, что ты будешь видеть и слышать, это будут очень неприятные вещи или картины. Но Богу нужны те, которые захотят видеть и услышать, потому что те, кто видят, смогут это изменить.
Because once they see it, they'll
Вы знаете,
be able to do something
проси
about
Бога
it.
Видеть,
you
know, потому что тому, кому Бог дал видеть, Он даст тебе оружие изменить.
See,
он даст тебе правильное время и правильную мантию, правильное помазание сделать это в свое время. Вы знаете, я благодарю Бога, что Он дает мне видеть. И когда я начинаю видеть, у моей руки начинает приходить определенный меч. И я благодарю Бога, и я выхожу и освобождаю еще раз в моем ружье, в моем микрофоне. И никого не бью.
You know, my weapon is a microphone. I'm not a prayer warrior. Yes, I pray, but I'm not an intercessor. There are those that are intercessors. That's all they do. May the Lord bless them. But I'm not that guy. I'm not an evangelist. I am that individual that carries the revelation of God by not even adding anything. The style that he uses it, the ways that he says it to me, that's exactly how I speak. I don't pick and choose my words. As I hear it, I say it. If you aren't able to hear what I say, then my message is not for you. I have not been placed by God to work with the generation of Saul. I always tell him, goodbye. Why is it that you think Saul's generation that I have to change something? Why is it that you think that I'm yours and I have to impress you and I have to change. I have nothing in common with Saul's generation. You understand me? I've been placed here not for them and I beg you, Saul's generation, turn off this TV and just go away. Do not bother me and do not prevent me from working with the generation of David, okay? I don't even know why is it that you think that we don't accept you. Why is it that I care that you don't receive me? What do you think you have to receive me or accept me? I've been born for you not to receive me. I have been born for this. Saul is never going to receive David. He's always going to chase him to kill him. It's going to be the same with you.
Шкала чуть больше, у тебя шкала чуть меньше, но мы все в одной и той же мантии.
We're all in the same mantle.
Мы все идем и делаем.
We all do the same work. We all try to do this.
На кого? На поколение Саула.
And we encounter who? Saul's generation. So listen, just turn around and continue doing what you're doing.
Иди и убей своего Голиафа.
Go and kill your Goliath and don't worry about it.
Сейчас,
I
уверен,
do it right now and I'm sure that you can do it
я своего,
as well.
Я своим
right
Голиафом
now.
Работаю, не переживайте.
I work
я его еще не убил.
With my Goliath. I didn't kill it quite yet, but at least he hears me.
Раньше он смеялся, смеялся раньше.
Before he was laughing at me and I was like, Oh Lord,
отлучи всех, кто его слушает.
Lord, shun everyone who listens to him. Oh Lord, anathema, take him away.
Моему Голиафу уже плохо.
My Goliath feels bad. Now the heartbeat is running. Okay. The pulse is running. Does your Goliath feel bad or is he sleeping? Every one of us has our own Goliath.
Okay. Не надо с ним сживаться.
You don't need to live with him.
Итак, дорогие, когда я Бога попросил реальность.
And when I asked the Lord for the reality,
I
just ask you, let us step out of the theater and be real.
And when I ask him,
I just want to do what you are telling me to do. I'll tell you from the heart.
Несколько раз Бога умолял, я говорю, Господь,
I have so much good teaching. I have so many awesome messages that will build the church.
But
God won't allow me to preach that message. Because before I preach the message, I have to live it in the Spirit. I have to live through it. And sometimes when I go into certain teachings that I have down in my journal, I just don't feel God there. And so sometimes I have to fight with God and just obey and speak what He tells me.
Я вам прочитаю сейчас место, которое 100% подтверждает. И вы знаете, сколько раз я хотел закрыть самого себя, и Бог говорит, закрой, я сниму с тебя твою мантию и беру
помазание. I wanted to get offended with God and preach the stuff that I wanted to preach, but God's like, you're not going to obey me, I'm going to remove my anointing. And so God spoke to me very firmly and strongly. He said, you need to speak what I tell you only. And so I've surrendered to God and decided that I will only preach what He tells me. So I have surrendered myself to Jesus because I do not want to hurt the Holy Spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying? I never ever want to offend the Holy Spirit or hurt the Holy Spirit. Because when you hurt Him, you know how bad you feel inside. You know, those of you that are with God, you know how it feels if you hurt the Holy Spirit. It's a really horrible feeling. So we must obey God. The things that I see and hear oftentimes bring me pain. But without pain, there can never be any change.
Дай мне настоящие слова, те слова, которые.
So I pray before God. God, give me words that are authentic and real, full of power.
Дорогие, мое сердце идет туда, к тем сотням.
My heart goes out to the people that are watching, those hundreds, those thousands and masses of people that are watching us. My heart goes out to them. There's so much pain over there. You know, when I travel and I hear all these people, the tears and the pain that they have, and they thank us for the life that we bring as a ministry. And everything that I do is because I have this compassion for the people. To see someone else that will rise up and step into identity and step into their position with God. My mission is to see that someone saved and for the first time to worship the Lord Jesus. I do not want to close in. My mission is to touch the heart of my generation. And I ask you that you would stand up with me for that same cause.
Послушайте сейчас это место. И я уже буду заканчивать буквально 5 минут, дайте мне и все.
Final scripture and we'll be finishing up here.
Иеремия 27, 7 стиха. Иеремия 27.
Jeremiah 27. 7 стих.
Смотрите, что пишет Иеремия. Дорогие, здесь настолько уникальное место.
Verse
7. Я читал его, я сейчас почитаю немножко с другого перевода. В этом переводе намного точнее отображена боль Иеремии.
Russian Bible has few translations.
То, что
I'm going to read
говорю,
it out of English.
Я просто иногда мне хочется принести какой-то позитивный месседж, а через меня орёт Бог.
You know, sometimes I wish I could bring a positive message, but oftentimes I just pain comes out through me.
У меня как будто в ушах крики этих людей.
It's because I feel like I hear, you know, the cries of these people. It's like I can hear it. And I can't do anything with myself. It just comes out through me. And I found this scripture in the Bible. And you know, it's the Spirit of God that groans inside of us for these people that are hurting. Jeremiah 27:9. Jeremiah said, O Lord, you have persuaded and deceived me, and I was persuaded and deceived. You are stronger than I am, and you have prevailed. I'm a laughing stock all the day. Everyone mocks me. For whenever I speak, I must cry out and complain. I shout violence and destruction. For the word of the Lord has come to me, a reproach and a derision, and has brought me insult all day long. Jeremiah cried and complained about the destruction and violence. Do you want to be a messenger like that? And receive a mocking from people? You know, the people are like, well, God can't bring anything negative to us, like a word. But here is an example where God speaks of destruction and pain. And I said, I will not make mention of the Lord or speak any more in his name in my mind and heart. It is as if there was a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary of enduring and holding it. I cannot contain it any longer. Jeremiah couldn't do anything. He needed to speak because it was like a fire. How many of you want this anointing? So if you were given the ability to see pain, you were given a weapon to help, to restore.
Мамы, папы, женщины, девушки. For, я всегда говорю, отмазка сейчас будет у всех. Я слишком старый, я слишком молодой, я слишком большая,
we always have excuses. You know, I'm too old, or I'm too young, or I'm a woman, or there's always excuses for everything. God is not interested in gender or anything else, any difference that we might have. But all he's looking for a heart. Someone that would allow his fire to consume them. For the real fire of God would come and consume, and his reality would come in. Here in the States, we have so much comfort around us, you know, versus other nations like Russia and Europe and many other places. America is a very comfortable nation, you know, so it's hard for us to rise up and actually do something about these issues. And so let us begin to, you know, go after God and ask God, show me pain and show me the reality and the problem. So let us rise up right now, asking for our worship team to step on the stage. I want you to concentrate on God right now. Forget about your lunch and everything else that's going to come after this meeting. A lot of us want anointing of success, but would you want anointing of the reality and of pain? Yeah, it hurts us because, you know, it's not easy to look at pain. And we cry. But if I don't have the real pain, I've noticed that I can't begin to cry, like, for real. Our people are dying, and we need to have the pain that Jesus has in his heart for his people. We need to have that same pain and compassion. Don't let the spirit of religion put you to sleep, numb you, put you in the coma. Let's pray. Lord, I ask you, let your reality come. I ask you, Lord, and even I speak over the church right now. I speak into the Spirit. Impart your pain to us. Impart your fire to us. I ask that you would raise up a generation that would not remain quiet, a generation that would not be able to stand and ignore. Raise up those that would want an impartation of the pain of Jesus Christ. Raise up these people that would say, here I am, God, send me. Here I am. Lord, take me, for I am yours. Consume me, overtake me. I want to experience your pain so that I can be effective and help. Don't let me be quiet. Don't let me ignore anything. Don't let me forget any of what I see. Don't let me fall asleep. I want to feel your heart. I want to feel your pain, compassion for your people. I want to feel and I want to know your desire. I want to be touched by your grief and your sorrow, the sorrow you experience for people that are dying. So touch your people right now. Church, ask right now. Say, God, give me an impartation of your reality. Because we do not see. Because we do not hear. Take us out of our illusions. Take us out of our sex. I want to hear what you hear, and I want to see what you see, and I want to do what you're telling me to do. So raise this generation up. Raise up this generation. Release your glory. Release your glory. Keep praying. The generation is raising up. We're prophesying into that generation. We see you. We see you, generation. You're raising up. You're raising up out of your sleep. Generation of David that are hungering for victory. Victory of the people. God, we hate Goliath. We hate religious theaters. We want to see you. We want to see your dream. I want to see your glory. You are our God and King, and we are yours.